This time I invite you to take your Bibles and, take your Trinity Psalter hymnals and turn with me to the back. We're looking at the ninth commandment this evening. The ninth commandment, which we can find on page 893, Lord's Day 43. Page 893, I'll read this question, and we can respond together with the answer. What is God's will for you in the ninth commandment? That I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone rashly or without a hearing. Rather, I should avoid, under penalty of God's wrath, every kind of lying and deceit as the very works of the devil. And in court and everywhere else, I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to defend and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation. Now, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 19. That'll be our passage this evening. Psalm 19, as we look at the ninth commandment together. Before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention, because this is God's holy word. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, this evening we are looking at the ninth commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, which focuses on the words that we speak and the thoughts that we have. Now, it's one thing for us to look at the ninth commandment, you shall not give false testimony, and walk away this evening knowing that it basically tells us not to lie and that instead we need to love and speak the truth. But it's a completely other thing to look at our words and our thoughts in light of God's revelation. His revelation in creation. His revelation in Scripture. What do I mean? Well, in Psalm 19, David is declaring how the heavens and all of nature declare the glory of God, the work of His hands. Day after day pours forth speech, night to night displays knowledge. It's a completely perfect and a completely true declaration, proclamation of God's glory, the glory of His work. And then David moves on to God perfectly speaking through His word, which is trustworthy, which is true, which is pure, which is clean, which endures forever, which is better than gold, sweeter than honey. And as he reflects on what creation is saying and the perfections of God's word, his prayer in verse 14 is that the words of his mouth and his thoughts, his meditations, would be acceptable in God's sight. Acceptable in the sight of his rock and his redeemer. The heavens are praising God by their very existence. God's word is perfectly true, and David's prayer is that he would join in that chorus with his words and his thoughts. And here we have the ultimate standard of truth, proclaiming the truth and glorifying God in what we say and in what we think. This evening we're looking at the ninth commandment in light of David's prayer here in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And this touches every aspect of our lives. If you are opening your mouth to say something, if you are thinking something, whether we're at home with our family or at work with our coworkers or at the pool with our friends, our prayer is that the words of our mouth, the things that we say and the things that we think are pleasing, acceptable to God. And the reason that we strive to have the words of our mouth and the thoughts, the meditations of our heart pleasing to God is because He is our rock and our Redeemer. The question that we're asking tonight is how? How do we do this? How are the things that we say and the things that we think pleasing to God? How are the thoughts of our hearts pleasing to God? And the answer to that question is, first of all, when they glorify God like creation does. Secondly, when they are perfect, like His word. And third, when Christ is our rock and our redeemer. And so first, how are the things we say and think pleasing to God? Well, when they glorify Him like creation. In Psalm 19, David uses human metaphors as he describes how creation makes God known to us. It's almost like he's describing creation, the sky and the sun as a teacher or as a preacher. Nature is declaring, it's proclaiming, it's pouring forth speech, it's displaying knowledge. The heavens report, they make known, they declare, they tell the glory of God. And what's the message that creation is declaring and proclaiming? It's declaring God's glory. It's declaring His majesty, His splendor, the work of His hands, His handiwork. What He does with His hands is made known in the sky each and every day, day after day, night after night, constantly. Every moment of every day, from the beginning of creation until its end, the knowledge of God's power and wisdom are being made known. Verse 6, there's no place where we can escape. There's no place in the entire world where this message is not declared by creation. Just like nothing is hidden from the heat of the sun. There's no place where God's glory, His work, His power is not constantly declared and proclaimed. And this proclamation, this declaration is true. It's not an illusion. It's not a lie. It's real. It's genuine. It's accurate. And as David here in Psalm 19 is reflecting on what creation is saying, he immediately starts thinking about what comes out of his own mouth. In his prayer and in verse 14 is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How are the things that we say and think pleasing and acceptable to God? Look at the explanation that we have in question and answer 12. First of all, what does God forbid in the ninth commandment? So negatively, what is God telling us? Don't do this. You shall not. Saying that I never give false testimony against anyone. So this is talking about swearing, perjury basically in court, swearing an oath to tell the truth and then lying under oath. Twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone rashly or without a hearing. Don't lie. You know it's wrong. You know that's not how the situation went, but when you retold the story, there was a little bit embellishment. Making yourself looking a little bit better and making everyone else looking a little foolish. We're told not to gossip, not to slander. We gossip when we pass on the rumors that we aren't sure, that we're not sure are completely true or accurate, but it's just so juicy we can't help but spread the news. Let someone else know. Did you know? Have you heard? Just between you and me. I mean this in the best possible way, but in those moments, we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say protecting this person's name, advancing, building up their reputation? Am I saying this because I love the truth and I love this person? Or is what I'm about to say breaking them down, tearing them down? I should avoid, under penalty of God's wrath, every kind of lying and deceit as the very works of the devil. Boys and girls, this morning, after this morning's worship service, some of you were arm wrestling. And I'm not sure who won because I walked away before the final round. Oh, Eric, you won? Okay. The Bible tells us that sin and our fight against sin is like wrestling, like arm wrestling. Who's going to win this wrestling match against sin? We are wrestling against sin. Whenever we want to do good, evil is right there tempting us to do the wrong thing. We are trying with all our might to push one way, and evil is pushing back against us in the opposite direction. Too often the good things that we want to do aren't the things that we actually do. And what we don't want to do, that's what we keep on doing. We want to tell the truth. We try to tell the truth. We know it's good to tell the truth, but guess what happens? I know I'm not supposed to throw a football in the house. And I did. And I broke the lamp. It shattered on the floor. And then Mom walks in. Who broke the lamp? And now the wrestling match starts in our mind, doesn't it? My sinful nature is saying, lie! If you tell the truth, you're going to get into trouble. But if you say you didn't do it, you won't get in trouble. And we push against that saying, no, I am supposed to tell the truth. But my sinful nature pushes back even farther, saying, your brother was supposed to catch the football. It's his fault that the lamp is broken. Who's going to win this wrestling match? And boys and girls, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Lying is worse than breaking a lamp. I mean, sure, breaking a lamp isn't good. Mom might be upset. Accidents happen. But I'm sure that it makes your mom even more upset and sad when you lie about it. Your sinful side makes you think that if you lie, you're going to get out of trouble. But you're actually making the situation worse, because now you've broken the lamp and you've done something even worse than breaking the lamp. You've lied about it. And that's how sin tricks us. It first makes us think that this lying is the easy way out, that it's going to keep us from getting in trouble, but actually it ends up making the situation worse. And that's the struggle, that's the wrestling match that we have when it comes to telling the truth. God's word is telling us not to lie. Instead, what does God tell us in the ninth commandment? I should love the truth. I should speak it candidly, openly, honestly. Openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to defend and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation. So instead of talking badly about others, I do what I can to build them up. The heavens, the skies, day and night are truthfully declaring and proclaiming the glory of God. And the question for us is, well, what about us? If the sun and all of creation displays God's glory, how are we doing at that? As the crown of all creation, made in God's image, how are you doing at loving the truth and speaking the truth? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And if all of creation is truthfully declaring God's glory, as we move on, it's even more so the case with God's word, the word that he speaks to us. It's trustworthy, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true. So how are the things we say pleasing to God? How are the things we think pleasing to God? Secondly, when they're perfect like his word. As we look at verses 7 through 10, we have God's word as the one speaking the truth. And as we look at this section, we ask, well, what are we talking about? What's being described here? It's talking about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord. Now, here, as David's talking about the law of the Lord, often when we think about God's law, we think about the Ten Commandments, which we're studying, the ninth commandment. But David is referring to more here than just the law of God or the Decalogue. He's referring to all of God's will. When Psalm 119 mentions God's law, what it's referring to is everything that God has made known to his people. His revealed will, which for David at this point is the entire scripture, the entire Bible. So God's law is his word, scripture, his testimony, his precepts. And how is it described? How is God's word described? It's described as perfect, as trustworthy, as sure, as wise, as radiant, pure, enlightening the eyes, clean, enduring forever. And at this point, David and the rest of us reflect on the perfection and the truth of God's word. And we immediately start thinking about the things that come out of our own mouths, the things that we think about. How are the things that we say pleasing to God? How are the thoughts of our hearts pleasing to God? When they are perfect like His Word. The perfection of creation's declaration, the truth of God's Word, sets the standard, sets the motivation for our own speech and our own thoughts, saying and thinking what is true, what is pleasing, what is acceptable to God, what is glorifying to Him. And when we're compared to the perfection of God's Word and the glory being declared by creation, how do our words and how do our thoughts measure up on any given day? The Catechism mentions lying and deceit as devices that the devil uses. God is the God of truth. Satan is the father of lies. And so when we gossip, when we lie, we're showing that our allegiance is to the wrong father. We're speaking Satan's language, not God's. And the glaring problem for us at this point is that our thoughts and our words have fallen short, have not glorified God like creation, have not been perfect like His Word. And so the question still remains, how are the things that we say pleasing to God? How are the thoughts of our hearts pleasing to God? And that brings us to our third and our final point. When Christ is our rock and our Redeemer. Just like David is saying that the law of God is perfect. He says, by them your servant is warned, verse 11, and in keeping them there is great reward. To say it another way, there is reward in perfectly keeping God's perfect law. So who is the servant who has perfectly kept God's perfect law? Because it's not David. Because he goes on in verse 12 asking for forgiveness. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults. So there you have, nothing is hidden from the Son, verse 6. And now he's talking about his hidden faults and asking for forgiveness. Declare me innocent, O God. Look at me, examine me, and declare that I have not sinned. And there's only one who can be declared innocent. There is only one that can be examined and declared to have no sin, to have no hidden faults. And that's Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. The one who perfectly declares God's glory, the one who perfectly reveals His Word. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. David is asking God to keep him from presumptuous or willful sins so that he will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Jesus is our rock and our Redeemer who is blameless and innocent of great transgressions, declared innocent from hidden faults. The only way that David and the rest of us can be blameless in God's sight, to be innocent of sin, no matter what we've said, no matter what we've thought in the past, is when Jesus Christ is our rock and our Redeemer. When Christ forgives us of all our sins. It's only when we place our faith in Jesus Christ that His perfect righteousness, His perfect obedience to the law, His perfect words and thoughts become our words and thoughts, acceptable in the sight of our Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. On our own, they're not. But in Christ, they are. Pleasing. Because they are His perfect thoughts and words. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. At this point, we see that only because of God's forgiveness are we able to be blameless and innocent of sin, innocent of breaking the ninth commandment. Jesus is the one who forgives us when we lose the wrestling match against sin. When we lie, we turn to Christ for the forgiveness that we so desperately need. And that grace, that forgiveness, results in thankfulness. Thankfulness for the salvation that is ours in Christ alone. And the sacrifice of praise from the heart is a fitting celebration of praise to the Creator who has drawn us close to the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Christ has kept the law perfectly. And He's done so that we might be forgiven and receive the grace we need. And in light of that, live our lives for Him in such a way that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are pleasing in the sight of our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. God calls us to holy, truth-filled lifestyles because we have been restored, because we have been redeemed, because we have been brought back into a relationship with Him. We're back in His presence as His children, pure, holy, and we're called to live that out, to be who we are in Christ, to live out who you are in Christ. Because your Redeemer, your rock, Jesus Christ, has declared you to be righteous and perfectly truthful, word and thought. Now we're called to live that out by pursuing and loving the truth. And we do this as we pray with the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, it is our prayer that we will love the truth and that we will speak the truth. Father, forgive us when we have failed. Forgive us for the words that we have spoken and the thoughts that we've had. Forgive us in Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. We're so thankful for the salvation and the forgiveness and the cleansing that is ours in Christ alone. And it's our prayer that as we move forward from here, that we will take each step in light of Jesus Christ. That the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.